another Energy Crew with me, your host, JP Warren. And we are actually, well, obviously I got to plug some things first before we begin, okay? You got to find Energy Crew on Instagram. You got to subscribe and like and leave a review. Tell me what you think. If you like it, great. Leave that. If you don't like it, put that review onto someone else's podcast. How about that? You know, we're trying to get this get the word out about Energy that Energy Crew. And I'm pumped to do this today. It's kind of like an ad hoc podcast we're doing today. I'm sitting here with my buddy Tyler Thompson over the VP of Operations over at Encore Permian.
Yep. Thanks, JP. Yeah, we're at the Fort Worth Convention Center.
It feels good to be back at these things, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
So
crowd is like probably 500-600 in there just 10 minutes ago.
So wait, awesome. So you went to the speaker?
I went to one this morning. My buddy Matt Garrison at Centennial.
Okay.
He was talking and they were running late, and I was like, no, I don't want to miss the JP talk.
Oh, stop it. You know, it's not like a hard miss the appointment. Looks like you're not going to get on the podcast. No,
yep,
dude.
Door's locked. Sorry.
This is my only productive thing I'm doing at the Doug Eagleford and Permian combined into one. So, man, I'm pumped you're here, man. It's good seeing you.
Yeah,
it's been a minute, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, it was September at Petro Legacy's office.
Yeah, that's right. Petro Legacy's office. You ever see those cats anymore?
Not very often, no. I've talked to him a lot on the phone,
okay,
trying to stay networked and plugged in and stuff.
Okay.
Is this, as you know, the last year, whatever, has been crazy. So,
dude, so I'm walking around there. I'm doing the whole aisle way, like, you know, you do like the aisle way, like you do like the elevator conversation when you're walking by. It's, hey, it's going pretty good. It's great. You know, I love doing this again. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Pretty much the same conversation every time you see someone, which is great. Like, I love seeing people that I haven't seen in a long time, and I love it. But one thing that I'm not comfortable with yet, and I don't think it is, I don't think we are at a place where we know if we're shaking hands or bumping fists yet.
Dude, just shake it.
So there's I get that, man, but when they do this, it's that awkward, like, you know when you're like playing golf with like an old guy and like they make a putt and they're like, yeah, they get real excited, they do this, and like you don't know what they're doing.
They didn't commit.
They didn't commit. So that's kind of my only thing I think we need to kind of discuss as an industry right now. What are we doing? Are we shaking hands or are we bumping fists? I'm all about shaking.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and if they go for the fist bump, if you're doing a sporting activity like golf, I'd say fist bumps, whatever, you know.
Well,
baseball's the forearm.
Well, then also if it's a fist bump, you just grab that hand and hold on to it.
You do, and you act like it's a shifter in a truck or a car.
They just deal with it. Yeah, act like they're looking. That's actually a pretty good one, man. Dude, you're looking good, man. I'm digging the suit. I'm digging the hairstyle, man. I'm loving this, man.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I don't know if you can see on the camera.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. It's like slick back. Like what's that guy? Well, Richard Greco. What's that dude? The Wall Street guy. In the movie Wall Street. Anyway, you guys.
Oh, yeah. Wolf of Wall Street.
Well, yeah, exactly. You're looking good, man. So you're here. You're actually speaking.
Yes.
Today. Talk to me.
Yeah. So they let anyone speak, I guess.
There
was a little application online. You click, do you want to? No, I'm just kidding.
Can you please speak? We need to fill something up.
No,
okay, I guess I'll do it.
We got a filler in the early afternoon, right after everyone eats.
I'm the last day after lunch.
Yeah. It's today. Today's Tuesday. It's at 2:15. And I'll be talking about Encore Permian, kind of the cool things we did. It feels like the last 6 months to a year, everyone was kind of buckled down, hunkered down, working from home.
Yep.
We actually did the exact opposite. Worked from the office, picked up a rig, drilled and completed 11 wells.
What was the thought? Boom. What was the thought process behind that? I guess when commodity prices were low, no one's really very hesitant about picking up rigs or doing any sorts of activity. What was y'all's mindset behind that?
So we've got some acreage out in Culberson and Reeves County in the Delaware Basin, West Texas, and it's way on the western flank of the Delaware Basin, and it's a little more economically challenged than some of the areas. So we needed for sure low commodity price environment and low, which in turn gives you low service costs.
Okay.
Well, this uptick in prices actually was perfect timing. So we operated bottom of the barrel pricing, boom, production comes on, came out of it. We're at $70-$75 oil. So it was actually really cool timing that we didn't really foresee exactly that, but
the way it worked out.
But yeah, we knew the service costs would be low because it was already low at then. So we just said, hey, let's pull the trigger. Get it done. We got a rig for almost half of the contract rate from an operator. We farmed it out. So, they were still paying half almost of their contract rate while we were paying the other half.
Yeah.
Great rig, drilled 9 wells, had 2 ducks. So 11 fracks, on production now.
Dude, that's insane that you're doing that, I guess, in the last year. I mean,
yeah.
Cause I mean, we're sitting here right now, I think it's middle of July right now. And this will probably be released in August sometime, but like, I'm thinking about last year and the thought of actually getting active and like picking up a rig and drilling nine wells and da-da-da. That's just, it's very against what everyone else is doing in our industry.
Yeah. Yeah. And kind of the motto that at Encore, when we're operating is, you know, do more with less. And our G&A is so low because we're such a small team. We've got 5 people in Austin.
Right.
And then there's 10, actually 11 people now in Midland that are land and legal. So we're just such a small team. They actually in Midland focus more on the minerals and leasehold acquisitions.
Okay.
We're in Austin. We're strictly geology, one a legal rep, and then ops. And it's so thin. It's awesome.
But I kind of like that structure. You know what I mean? That way you're not just focused. You're not pigeonholed doing this one task. You're kind of wearing many different hats and kind of everyone's kind of swimming in and out of each other's pool pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. The lobby here at the convention center is like a million hats on that star. And I walked in, I was like, like, I don't want to say the pun, but you know.
So are you seeing, what are you seeing with service industry of the cost right now? Is it kind of staying low level just because everyone is thirsty for that work, or you just kind of see it increased?
No, it's increasing. The biggest thing is finding good people on the service side. Now we're not in the position to find people on the service side because we're an operator, but that's the one task that I think is a real heavy task for service companies is
right.
A lot of people have said, you know what, I'm going to be an Amazon driver.
And that's fine.
I'm leaving. No, you're right. It's whatever anyone wants to do with their career. But it does throw a little bit of a need in the oil and gas industry. So it's hard to find good people now.
Oh, again, it is.
A lot of people shell shocked, you know, shot down from last year, like, you know, and that's why activity hasn't just gone boom like it would have in 2014.
You'd expect it to. I mean,
you would.
Yeah, but it hasn't. It's an interesting kind of lag that you're seeing activity with the high commodity prices we're seeing in today's market. You'd expect, I mean, historically speaking, if you've been in the industry for more than 3 years, you know, when there's a little bit of uptick in price, it's like, pick up rig, go.
Yeah,
pedal to the metal, man.
Yeah, it's capital discipline, which is something that the industry hasn't really had.
But we're learning it, though.
We are. It's great.
It is.
About time, 150 years.
I feel like I know it's no shit. I feel like it's a completely new feel of our industry. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it. And that's probably something I need to think about before I start talking about it. But it feels like a completely new, a newer industry, if you will. People are more capital conscious. People, it's not, you know, a knee-jerk reaction. People aren't picking up rigs, you know, when you expect them to. And you're seeing technology come out. You know what I mean? You're seeing all this new stuff come out. So I want to finish what we're talking about on the Doug thing. And I kind of want to talk about this new technology that we were talking about before.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what are you talking about, Doug?
So today I'm basically giving a recap of Encore Permian over the last 6 to 8 months. And I actually joined them last August along with the rest of the ops team.
Yeah.
So we're pretty new. We're all part of Encore Permian, but back then we had to jump on and help operate. So everyone there was mostly land and legal flipping stuff and leasehold. And so we came in and that's what I'm going to talk about. And also a really cool kind of cherry on top at the end is I'm going to talk about the freeze of February.
Yeah.
You know, everyone was freezing in Texas. But we actually pulled through and didn't have really any problems. And there were a lot of benefits to that. I'll talk about it this afternoon, but two key things, and this is kind of on a technical level.
Hey, I guess. Get there.
We use, air compression on every single pad to do our control lines instead of fuel gas. Fuel gas, you get condensate when it cools. Air is just air with very little liquids in it. So you won't have freezing lines on your control valves. So that's one thing that causes wells to shut in. Didn't have that issue. And then
So time out. So what was the thought process behind that? Did you actually take into account the freeze or just one of those things?
No.
So it was just kind of one of those like worked out.
Straight up like September, October last year, we were designing the facilities and we were like, man, yeah, that's you know, it was X dollars to purchase for every pad. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever. You know, we used a facility design company and they were suggesting that. And I said, you know what, I don't want to be a dictator here as a VP position. I don't want to say, no, don't do that. They're good at their job.
Right.
I'm going to let them do it, hands off. So I said, okay, let's do it. It turned out to be a really good decision because everyone around us in the basin was having freezing issues.
Yeah.
Downstream, the pipeline companies were having issues. There was some flaring going on, which no one likes to do. But, you know, downstream, they were having fuel gas and control line gas freezing. So that was one thing that was kind of, I don't want to say luck, but.
Well, I mean, it kind of, I mean, you never, you didn't know the benefits of it, but when you said yes to it, and it seems like it's not a normal industry practice.
It's so not.
It's yeah. like, you're like, all right, let's do it. And it worked out.
Yeah. So, so some operators do that. A lot of the, a lot of really good companies do that. But, and then the next thing is, it's kind of unfortunate, but it worked out. We're so far out on the western flank that there's no electric transmission lines out there. So we were looking at a huge capital expense and time to get power to us.
Yeah.
And we said, you know what, screw it. Let's just do generators right now. Like we came in to operate. I didn't have time and the team didn't have time to like do this huge power grid build out. We were like, let's just do generators and burn our own natural gas. So we started doing that. Freeze, and then we're off the grid, right? Because we're burning our own. So everyone else had power issues, and we're just going chugging along.
That's a great spot to be in, man.
Yeah, and kept our wells flowing too, which was cool because midstream companies around West Texas, if you were feeding them gas, you got a force majeure benefit, so you got the spot price. Gas for one million BTU. It went over $200. I think $209 was the peak instead of, you know, it's $375, I believe today, but $200 for a couple days.
Wow.
And then back down. Well, if you average that for the month, it was about $12 average for February for us.
Holy shit.
So that's like 07, 08 prices.
Yeah.
When everyone talks about back in the day.
Back in the day, Haynesville, we had helicopters landing in Fort Worth. Yeah. Every apartment had a helipad.
Yeah. So it's a lot of these, you know, I don't want to say luck because our team is very smart, very technical, awesome team. But a lot of those things we couldn't foresee happening, and it happened.
But a lot of time, I think if you have a very intelligent team and you have a capable team that's very good at their jobs and all that stuff, luck follows talent, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like if you're putting the right people towards the project and all that stuff, I mean, things are going to happen that's going to benefit the company. And it might look like luck, but at the same time, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of legwork behind that for that luck to happen. So. Yeah. Congrats to y'all, man. That's awesome. No, dude.
Thanks. Yeah. We're stoked about it.
That's crazy. So how was golf yesterday with Chief?
Oh, it was fun. Yeah. Chief's a veteran of speaking to you.
I love Chief, man. That guy is one of the best guys out there, man.
Yeah. He's good people. He's awesome.
Where'd y'all play at?
I might be pronouncing it wrong. Riglia.
I don't know.
Riglia.
I don't know. It's a good time.
Great time. Great
weather though.
So yeah. So we were actually on the 18th hole.
For those that don't know, it was a monsoon yesterday, pretty much.
Yeah, it was basically just over Fort Worth. Checked the radar, but on the 18th hole, we were almost done. It was like 4:30, and the clouds got super dark. I got a photo on my phone. I'll show you later, but super dark, gray, almost black, and it was swirling, and you could feel the cold air coming down.
Oh shit!
That's tornado.
Yeah,
and we heard the sirens.
And we're in tornado alleyway.
Southern flank of it. We heard the tornado sirens, so we heard them.
Did y'all put out?
Oh yeah, we didn't. We didn't pick up.
Goddamn right.
Yeah, no, we didn't pick up.
That's right.
So we finished 18. Wind started blowing. We're driving in. You know, the wind, and if there's branches and leaves coming through the cart through the other side, and then we park it and it starts pouring. I was like, Chief,
perfect timing,
Chief.
I'll tell you one thing. If that was with any other sales guy, it would have been raining like hole numbers four. You know what I mean? But knowing Chief, hey, he kept that out of bay. He needed to get back to that clubhouse. So talk to me about, I mean, you and I were talking before this, actually on the podcast that I had before, you were discussing kind of something that you were working on, you were tinkering with, this invention.
Yes. Okay? Yeah.
So I dig how not only are you, you know, drilling, you know, 9 wells, you're picking up a rig and all stuff, but you also have time to focus on, you also, we'll get into this also after, but you know, you're inventing stuff for the oil field. You're doing a children's book. Can you talk to me about your invention? Kind of just discuss it here and kind of, because people out there might want to understand what it is and learn about it a little bit, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. So it's an oil field tool.
Do you have a name yet?
It's called the payload deployment tool. It's not cool. I need to get an acronym for
PDT.
It.
PDT. Yeah. Okay. Okay. We'll work on that. We'll work on that.
PDT.
Yeah. That's okay. Okay.
PVT would be cool.
Yeah, I'd go with that. So,
you know, people know that.
So tell me about it. So tell me about it.
So it can be run on any kind of pipe, coil, stick pipe on the production side, or drill pipe too. I don't have the drill pipe one drawn up, but
okay.
But it's a tool that has no moving parts. It's just got rupture discs, and it's patent pending right now. I filed it last October of 2020, and it's really cool. It allows you to to run into a well and deploy things. So I don't want to get into too much details because I would really love to pitch this to a tool company. I actually haven't been able to do that yet. But
if anyone out there works at a tool company or anything like that, obviously you connect with them on a LinkedIn or shoot me a note and I'll connect y'all too, because I'm looking forward to we got to help each other out in the oil fields.
Yeah,
so,
no,
so
talk, yeah.
So keep on going.
So yeah, no, it's I'm getting the technical drawings buttoned up. I've got one more line of kind of back and forth on them, but then I'm gonna have a 3D rendition printed. It's only about 24 inches long. It's a 3 1/8 tool, 3 3/8. Sorry, 3 3/8. And yeah, it's really cool. It's it almost looks like revolver on a pistol.
Okay.
8 chambers, allows you to drop different things at different depths in a horizontal. So say you want to run in a well and drop some tracer material at the toe of a well. Okay. You got a way out in the lateral. So an old production. You drop some tracer down there, and there's different types of tracer I can talk about with whoever wants to talk about it. But at the toe of a well, bring the well back on production. You can also do a clean out in conjunction. So clean out the lateral. You do this typically in horizontal wells because offset frac hits and just production in general, you get solids kind of build up in the heel and the lateral. Run in, do a clean out, drop a tracer at the toe, pull out of the hole. Now you bring your well on production for the next couple months while that tracer material is still releasing chemical into the flow from the toe.
Okay.
You can get a check, yes or no, is my well still open? Yeah, the whole lateral is open because the toe is contributing. You're getting chemical from the toe. So for the next couple months until that tracer material or longer runs out, you can take some samples of the production stream of water at surface and say, cool, my lateral is still open. So this is a tool to deploy that material.
How did you, where did this come? I mean, first off, it doesn't sound like your schedule's that busy. So where did this come from, and how did you find the time and I guess the stamina to finish designing this and get a patent going?
It's got a lot of help from the family. My wife and kids give me a ton of energy. So that's awesome. But, in the evenings and weekends too, I spend a lot of time doing this stuff. This was actually the biggest part of it was back and forth, like filing the patent.
Yeah.
The drawings and everything is actually not that much time to do, but really? Just thinking of it. Yeah. I thought about it late last year and it's a really cool opportunity to design a tool. So I'm trying to give back to the industry too, because this is something that I think it can really be beneficial, especially in a field with thousands of horizontal wells, which...
So what's your next step? What's your next step with this? I mean, I guess bringing it to market.
Yeah. So I want to start putting my sales hat on and talking about it. I'm really excited about it. I think it can really benefit, any operator that's looking to understand older production, newer production. You can go in and do this stuff day one on your CapEx budget and just, kind of almost not write it off, but it's on the CapEx. If you do this older wells down the road, it's cheap. You can do LOE, put on LOE and knock out a bunch of wells in a day. And it's all internal to the well. So instead of like on a frac, you pump tracer on one stage or every stage, right. You're flooding the whole reservoir with a chemical tracer, whether it's an oil tracer, water tracer, or gas tracer, solid or liquid, goes out into the reservoir and you never get it all back. You start to run out of getting the tracer material back, but a lot of it stays in the reservoir. And if you do a parent or a child well next to a parent, now that child well is going to produce some of that. So you can't use those same chemicals in a project that you want to do on an offset.
Okay.
Well.
Okay.
So you almost contaminate the reservoir. So this all stays inside the well bore. It doesn't exit. So it's like all just inside of whatever well.
So these are older wells, correct?
Yeah. They're probably the best.
But what's interesting though, is I've the people that I've spoken to, the operators, the frustrators I've talked to and all that stuff and all these people getting out there, it's like, they're what? Frustrators?
Frustrators. I love it.
You're a frustrator. Friend that's a customer. Actually, just a friend.
I thought it was like frustrated customer.
No. Frustrator is a friend customer. Actually, when I was.
Frustrator.
Frustrator, yeah.
Sorry.
It's a legal term now.
I know.
I was in court one time and like the attorney was like, oh, so you go out with your frustrators all the time. The judge is like, excuse me, what's a frustrator? I was like, oh, it's a friend that's a customer. He goes, okay, I like that. Keep going. So yeah, so it's binding now. So
that's awesome.
So what I'm talking to all these people and they're there's been a lot of focus, not on, you know, new activity or new wells or anything like that, but a lot of going back in and, you know, recompleting, you know, producing these older wells. I guess it's probably, I'm not sure if it's more economical, it's low hanging fruit, or it's like you can still squeeze some more juice out of that. So I think it's perfect timing to bring this to market right now.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. You know, recompletion, you don't have to really use D&C dollars, like, you know, new development.
Right.
So that's probably one reason that's becoming a hot commodity. That when I was working to Eagle Ford late 2011 to 2016, the recompletion kind of came back in after prices fell after 2014. When prices fall, that's when recompletes start to pop up.
Yes.
And everyone said, hey, we don't have to drill new wells, but there's still work to be done over here. Low hanging fruit, I guess, or fruit left on the vine or whatever. But it's a great opportunity to do it.
So, okay, so you're doing that, and obviously, again, I'm being serious. If anyone out there who knows someone or works at, like, that wants to reach out to Tyler to discuss this a little bit more, hook up with him, or again,
shoot me, and
I'll connect y'all and all that stuff. So sure. You're doing that, and you're also doing, tell me about your kid's book, your children's book.
Dad. Yeah, so I'm still working on it. So last time we talked, I was doing some of the illustrations of it. I'm still doing it, so I finished one up 2 weeks ago.
So engineer, inventor, father, husband, writer, and an artist as well. I mean, I've seen some of his artwork. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I love many hats.
It's fun.
Sorry for that interruption. I'm excited about this.
No, it's awesome. So it's an energy book based on basically every kind of energy there is. I know I'm in oil and gas. We all are, but it's a non-biased book, so it's like
I dig that, man. That's what Energy Crew is all about, man.
Yeah, exactly. So it shows, you know, solar, biomass, nuclear. I've got oil and then gas. I guess I'm a little biased. I have two pages. They're separate, right? And then geothermal, hydroelectric.
Really?
Wind turbines and things. So I just finished the wind turbine one with my son. He was actually sitting on my lap the whole time I was doing the watercolor painting for it.
What an experience, man, he
was telling me, you know, do this, you know, paint it this way. And I, you know,
wasn't it a good nightlight or something like that? What was it called?
Yeah. So, I'm trying to pick the title out still.
But that was a great memory that I have.
Yeah. So yeah. Good night light. I don't know. Good night light might be a good for kids.
So what's going on with it? So illustrations are done.
Yeah. So almost done. I still have to do biomass, and then oil and gas. I think that's it. Gas, I think I'm going to do like a oil is actually, you know, the stereotypical like West Texas with maybe like the Pecos Mountains or the Davis Mountain Range, Guadalupe Mountains in the back with a rig and stuff. That's going to be that. But then gas, I think I'm going to be doing like a, that's the one that I haven't drawn yet. Going to be like a natural gas power plant, with the turbines and the big, heat exchange.
When do you think this is going to come to market?
So I started it like 11 months ago and I really need to get going on it.
Yes, you absolutely do.
So,
I mean, it's not like you've been doing shit for the past 9 months anyway.
Yeah. So I don't know. Let me throw a date out there.
Okay. Everyone, you've heard this here first on Energy Crew Podcast.
August, September, October. Well, give me 3 months. So October.
So it's going to be released by Christmas. Perfect Christmas gift. Have you met Kyle Wagner before?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Kyle Wagner's awesome. He actually,
he really is, man. Like he's legit. He's actually hosting something in Fort Worth, the Kindest Duck project in the end of July.
Yeah. I saw the flyer for it. It had like the biggest duck in the world or something. It's like over the skyline, but Kyle's great. He actually, he gave me some of his time to talk. I asked him a bunch of questions on, you know, publishing. And so he's been a real good asset to this.
What a great guy, man.
He's so awesome.
Yeah. I love that. I love how y'all are supporting each other and also getting the word out of our industry. And all the industries. I mean, he does oil and gas. He does veterans. He does Goodnight Combine.
Mm-hmm.
So agriculture, because that's his, you know, background and all that stuff. So I love how what you're doing as well. You're putting together a cool story that you're actually drawing.
Which is
I think he's the illustrator on his books as well.
I believe so on some of them, I think.
The fact that y'all are putting together these awesome books, these awesome sources, and not just, you know, a great story to, you know, read to your child or something, but it's also like you're teaching them.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that's extremely important these days.
Yeah, that the biggest thing was I was so upset at like a year ago, the world bashing oil and gas, and it'll always happen. But I was just like, you know, how can I do this? You know, how can I get word out to a younger generation?
So that was the motivation behind it.
Yeah, because there's no real. I don't know. In my eyes, I guess I don't know if you know you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So you know, the older generation. There's not a real point in talking about oil and gas and like the benefits of it because, you know,
do anything. If you provide data to people, that doesn't sway their side.
No. So like, you know, speaking to kids, and it's all truth. I'm just talking about each type of energy in a cool picture that's fun, watercolor, and then talking about what each one does.
So do you got the, so once it's published and all that stuff, you can do a little, some readings?
Oh, yeah.
I think you should, man. Yeah. I think that'd be cool to kind of set something up. I mean, we can even set up one of those things where all these cats zoom in on you and all that stuff. And yeah, you just do a reading like that. These old field people in Midland and
yeah, definitely.
Love Colorado or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, what else is going on, man? I know we got to get back out there and have those elevator talks, but what else is going on with you? How's you still jamming the guitar?
Jamming? Oh, yeah. I forgot. I wore my guitar socks for you.
So
they don't even go with
so
the suit.
So the previous, well, you know what? Let me see the inside of that jacket again, dude. I love that, man.
Republican.
I love that. That's so cool, man. He's looking good today. He's looking good. He's feeling good. He's about to give a pretty good talk too. So you're still jamming the guitar.
Yeah. Yeah. I play a lot. Actually I don't know if it was before we talked last, but I play in the church worship band every couple weeks. I jump on a couple times
okay.
a month.
Okay.
Which is awesome. It's cool. Cause you actually get to, like use all the equipment that you would you're performing.
Yeah.
Earpiece, and there's no rehearsal. It's crazy.
Just get up and jam.
Like each week they give you like there's an app and hey, check out all the songs. It's three songs and each person is at their house by themselves for the week practicing. And then we get together at 7:30 a.m. Sunday morning, run through, sound check, boom, everyone's ear is good, everything's good, okay. And then you run through the songs one time and then you're done and then you do showtime. And
that's not a lot of prep work.
No. So I did this a long time ago when we lived in San Antonio. We're in Austin now, but San Antonio. And we did like one rehearsal during the week and stuff. Yeah. There's a little more like, you know, everyone needed more of that camaraderie, more time. But here there's like no time. Everyone's got so much
stuff. How long have you been doing this for?
At church?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Not this church we're at is called Hill Country Bible Church. It's in Austin. Probably 4 months, so it's not that long.
How are you seeing the attendance in church lately?
Oh, it's great. Back, yeah, it's back. It's bigger than it was.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
That's good.
Yeah, our church is growing big time. But yeah, it was. They had a through all of last year. They actually shut down for a few months and then reopened with a you don't have to wear a mask service. And then there was a mask service for people that wanted to do that. So there was actually a not required. Service that you could just
really
yeah it was really cool.
I dig that.
Yeah, it was really cool.
About time to have a little normalcy, huh?
Yeah,
especially after the shit show we've been through the past 18 months.
Yeah And like I was saying earlier, Encore, it's funny, like we've been open and working at offices the whole time, and I get a lot of calls like, hey, you know, when are y'all open?
When y'all back in the office? When you?
Yeah, I'm like, no, man,
we've
I'm
been here.
Here,
bud.
Yeah, I'm here.
That's how you know it's a good salesman. It's like, when you back in the office, we've been here, man.
Yeah,
like know your stuff. We've been here.
We've been grinding nose to the grindstone since the beginning of it.
So you just checked out the first episode before getting on here with the DRW.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Did you hear the intro music?
Yeah,
Monica.
No way.
I swear to God.
No.
Yep.
She's awesome.
Dude, so she did the intro and outro to my old podcast and the new podcast. So it's got a different vibe, you know what I mean? Like a little more like throwback to 80s, 90s rock and roll, like, you know, like synth wave. And I was like, I kind of want something synth wave, babe.
Dude.
She's like, I'm on it. Literally within 30 minutes, she cranked that out.
No way.
I swear to God.
She's amazing. She's a good musician.
She is. She's very talented.
So the song that you used to have was Something River.
Dusty,
not Whiskey River, but Something River.
No, it wasn't River. It was
Muddy
like
something.
Muddy Waters.
Muddy Waters.
Muddy
okay.
Waters. Whoa. Look at your memory.
Oh, yeah.
Look at us.
What's the one? What did she title this one?
I don't think it has a title.
I was thinking
the title is My Super Handsome, Funny Husband Who I Can Never Get Mad At.
Oh, yeah.
Part two.
Of course.
Part two. I think that's kind of the title of the song.
That's it. Yeah. No. When I first saw the picture, I was like, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't it cool?
Oh my, yeah, I love it. And I was like, immediately, because of the because of the way you spell crew, I was like, kickstart my heart. Yes. I was like literally in my head.
So for awesome. The, yeah, so it, Tyler and I share a pretty strong love for heavy metal back in like 80s, 90s heavy metal. So yeah. I'm glad you appreciate that. Yeah, man. And then I shared you the playlist from my other podcast, All Rock and Roll, man.
Yeah.
It's all I got to start a new one for this one.
Do it.
So let's get out there. Let's start having those elevator conversations. Is there anything else you want to bring up, man?
No, man. I just want to say thanks for having me on. It's awesome.
Oh, no, absolutely, man. It's great catching up with you. Great seeing you. I'm sorry I missed you in Austin last week, but I think you and your family were fishing in Port A.
Yes, we attempted to. We were in Port A. The rain, it was like 15 inches in 4 days. I don't think it's ever done
that. But was it good cozy weather like rain where you just like have family days?
There was like a family day, cozy morning, and then actually 2 afternoons in a row, we had like 4 hours of cloudy beach, which was awesome.
So get the kids out.
Oh, it was out. Yeah, that was awesome.
Tire them out. Isn't it crazy though? Like, anyway, we don't have to get into that.
But no,
anyway.
No. Real quick, we were about to go fishing, and I met the guy, the captain, at 6 a.m. at the dock, and I was going to take the wife and kids out fishing. You know, let's go do some bait fishing. I'm standing there, and there's literally lightning in the air, and he goes, well, I can take you out. It's like. And I'm like, okay, no, like, you don't have to do this. You don't have to sell it to me.
This isn't me and my boys. This is like me and my kids.
Yeah. And he goes, you see that? See that? They get lockjaw because of that. And I'm like, no, they don't. They're fish, but okay, you know. And I was like, well, is anyone going out? I was just curious. And he pointed. It was like a movie. He pointed behind us, and there was a captain and one guy going out together on the same boat. They were loading the boat. And right when he pointed, they looked back at where we were, and it was the funniest. I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. It's a movie. It's like 6 a.m. this guy going out.
I love the old school, like 1950s, like, they get lockjaw when it's lightning. Yeah. Like, where'd you know they don't? They don't.
I can get you out and I can get you back. I go, well, I know you can do that. I don't know if I want to go. We're going to get wet.
I like how the other guy in the other boat was probably like, is anyone going out? Yes, those guys are looking at you. You're like, should we be doing this?
Yeah.
Should we be doing this?
I walk away and he's like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Well, buddy, let's get back out there, man. I appreciate you. Thank you for your time, man. It's always good catching up with you. Yeah. I really appreciate your time. I mean, you're a busy man. You're about to go up there. You got a lot of stuff on your plate and all that stuff. Family's doing well?
Yeah, doing good. Yeah, good. You too?
Good. Oh, yeah, family's doing great. Awesome. We got to do that double date.
Yeah, we do.
We never got around to that. We got to do that.
Yeah, now. Either Houston or Austin.
Man, don't threaten me with Austin. I'll do Austin any day. Okay. Any day, so.
Come on.
Everyone, thank you for tuning in to Energy Crew, and we'll talk to you soon. If you want to get in touch with him to talk about it, whether it's the book or whether it's the PDT. PDT?
Oh, yeah. That sounded good.
That sounded all right. Yeah. I dig that. If you want to talk about the PDT, the tool that he's patent pending, sounds like a very interesting thing. It sounds like it's something that's pretty relevant to our industry right now for all these older wells that kind of people are going back into. So. Man, I appreciate it. Good luck on your speech. What you got going on the rest of the Doug? When are you going back to Austin?
I'm going to go up tomorrow morning back to Austin. I'll be here in the morning and then probably right before lunch head out. I'm going to be on the floor talking to a bunch of people. I keep seeing everyone. I know. I know. You know, I haven't seen them in a long time.
It feels good, man. It feels good.
Yeah. Five-year high school reunion feels like.
It kind of does. Kinda. So we gotta have a cocktail later and catch up a little bit more.
Sounds
so
good. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And again, just get in touch with us and just let us know what you think. And we'll talk to you soon.